Tim did not hesitate. Later, he might be able to afford the luxury of amazement, but not now. The wind was growing stronger by the second, and if he didn't act fast, he'd be lifted and blown into the trees where he would probably be impaled. The tiger was heavier, but it would follow soon enough. The key that looked like a card and the key that looked like an eth were welded to the silver collar, but the collar's clasp was easy enough. Tim squeezed its sides at the indentations and the collar dropped off. He had a moment to register the fact that the tiger was still wearing a collar, this one made of pink hide where the fur had been rubbed away, and then he was hurrying to the Dogon's metal door. He lifted the key card and inserted it. Nothing happened. He turned it around and tried it the other way, still nothing. The wind gusted, a cold, dead hand that slammed him into the door and started his nose bleeding. He pushed back from it, turned the card upside down, and tried again. Still nothing. Tim suddenly remembered something Daria had said. Had it been only 3 days ago? North Forest Kinnick Dogon is offline. Tim guessed he now knew what that meant. The flasher on the Tower of Metal Girders might still be working, but down here the spark power that had run the place was out. He had dared the tiger, and the tiger had responded by not eating him, but the Dogon was locked. They were going to die out here just the same. It was the end of the joke, and somewhere the man in black was laughing. He turned and saw the tiger pushing its nose against the metal box with the engraving on top. The beast looked up, then nuzzled the box again. "All right," Tim said. "Why not?" He knelt close enough to the tiger's lowered head to feel its warm breath puffing against his cold cheek. He tried the F key. It fit the lock perfectly. For a moment he had a clear memory of using the key the Covenant man had given him to open Kells's trunk. Then he turned this one, heard the click, and lifted the lid, hoping for salvation. Instead of that, he saw three items that seemed of no earthly use to him: a large white feather, a small brown bottle, and a plain cotton napkin of the sort that were laid out on the long tables behind the tree meeting hall before each year's Reaptide dinner. The wind had passed gale force. A ghostly screaming had begun as it blew through the crisscrossing girders of the metal tower. The feather whirled out of the box, but before it could fly away, the tiger stretched out its neck and snatched it in its teeth. It turned to the boy, holding it out. Tim took it and stuck it in his belt beside his father's hand axe, not really thinking about it. He began to creep away from the Dogon on his hands and knees. Flying into the trees and being struck through by a branch would not be a pleasant way to die, but it might be better, quicker, than having the life crushed out of him against the Dogon while that deadly wind crept through his skin and into his vitals, freezing them. The tiger growled, that sound of slowly ripping silk. Tim started to turn his head and was slammed into the Dogon. He fought to catch another breath, but the wind kept trying to rip it out of his mouth and nose. Now it was the napkin the tiger was holding out, and as Tim finally whooped air into his lungs, it numbed his throat as it went down, he saw a surprising thing. Cy Tiger had picked the napkin up by the corner, and it had unfolded to four times its former size. That's impossible. Except he was seeing it. Unless his eyes, now gushing water that froze on his cheeks, were deceiving him, the napkin in the tiger's jaws had grown to the size of a towel. Tim reached out for it. The tiger held on until he saw the thing firmly clutched in Tim's numb fist, then let go. The gale was howling around them, now hard enough to make even a 600-pound tiger brace against it. But the napkin, that was now a towel, hung limply from Tim's hand, as if in a dead calm. Tim stared at the tiger. It stared back, seemingly at complete ease with itself and the howling world around it. The boy found himself thinking of the tin bucket, which had done as well for seeing as the Covenant man's silver basin. "In the proper hand," he had said, "any object can be magic." Mayhap, even a humble swatch of cotton. It was still doubled, at least doubled. Tim unfolded it again, and the towel became a tablecloth. He held it up in front of him, and although the rising gale continued to storm past on both sides, the air between his face and the hanging cloth was dead calm and warm. Tim grabbed the tablecloth that had been a napkin in both hands, shook it, and it opened once again. Now it was a sheet, and it lay easily on the ground, even though a storm of dust, twigs, and dead bin rusties flew past it and on either side. The sound of all that loose gunna striking the curved side of the dogon was like hail. Tim started to crawl beneath the sheet, then hesitated, looking into the tiger's brilliant green eyes. He also looked at the thick spikes of its teeth, which its muzzle did not quite cover, before raising the corner of the magic cloth. "Come on, get under here, there's no wind or cold." "But you knew that, Psi Tiger, didn't you?" The tiger crouched, extended its admirable claws, and crawled forward on its belly until it was beneath the sheet. Tim felt something like a nest of wires brush down his arm as the tiger made itself comfortable. Whiskers. He shivered. Then the long, furred length of the beast was lying against the side of his body. It was very large, and half its body still lay outside the thin white covering. Tim half rose, fighting the wind that buffeted his head and shoulders as they emerged into the open air, and shook the sheet again. There was a rippling sound as it once more unfolded, this time becoming the size of a lake boat's mainsail. Now its hem lay almost at the base of the tiger's cage. The world roared and the air raged, but beneath the sheet all was still, except that was for Tim's pounding heart. When that began to settle, he felt another heart pounding slowly against his rib cage and heard a low, rough rumble. The tiger was purring. "We're safe, aren't we?" Tim asked it. The tiger looked at him for a moment, then closed its eyes. It seemed to Tim answer enough.